Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. You're listening at CindySheehanSoapbox.com or CommunityProgressiveRadio.org. Our Soapbox guest today is Deborah Sweet. Deborah is the National Director of World Can't Wait. And obviously the forum that we talk about has already passed, but hopefully you can get more information at their website, worldcantwait.net. The information that Deborah presents in this show, though, is very relevant. And so stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Deborah Sweet. Deborah Sweet, welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Oh, it's really good to be with you, Cindy, wherever you are on your journey.
Yes, and we just really appreciate you always giving us time, because we're just very, when I say we, I guess I'm mostly meaning me. I'm just really always grateful to you and World Can't Wait for always keeping the pressure on and, you know, never letting up. Even though we have a Democrat in the White House. So, again, it's great to have you back on the show.
Well, I feel like you are speaking for the we, because you are riding along with a lot of our hopes with you, not just for peace, but for justice and for really a whole different world. So it's not just you, Cindy.
Yeah, well, thanks.
We're with
it feels like it's just me.
You're the one whose butt is on that bike, though, so I have to give you much respect for that.
Yeah, thanks. We've had some amazing experiences along the way, and, of course, the time we spent in Chicago with your comrades there, and we did that Welcome to Tour to Peace and Support Bradley Manning rally there. So we really appreciate that, too. It was a great event.
Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah, it really was. So speaking of Bradley Manning, you and World Can't Wait, is it World Can't Wait and you? Is the RCP also involved? Or who's putting on this forum Wednesday? And what's the forum about? What's it for?
Well, it's World Can't Wait, and a number of other groups are co-sponsoring, including Revolution Books in New York.
Uh-huh.
And I stand with Bradley Manning and the Granny Peace Brigade, a lot of people that you know.
Right.
We're putting this together really on an emergency basis. The emergency has been going on for quite some time, but we just learned the depth of it. To hear the degree to which the administration and major leaders in Congress are upholding the vast surveillance state, as you said, under a Democrat, really should cause some people to swallow hard and say, that is something I am not going to go along with. I was really fortunate to be listening computer live this morning when Edward Snowden was being interviewed from whatever location he's in. He was answering questions live.
Uh-huh.
It was as dramatic as if you were watching him, I felt. And it was so interesting. I just don't know that I expected this guy was going to have such a view of the world. But he does, as much as he talks about his country being the U.S. and, you know, is somewhat overtly patriotic, he really does have a broader view of the world. And he laid out this morning the reason that he did this was the vast scope of how the NSA and other agencies are literally vacuuming up the private information, not just of individuals around the world, which is bad enough, but of like hospitals, schools, companies, organizations all around the world. And he says, you know, this is just straight up criminal. And
well, tell me what
that's
he
an
said,
important
because
thought.
I've been riding my bike, so I'm not exactly up to speed on the what you're talking about that happened this morning. What exactly did he say?
He answered all kinds of questions. Spencer Ackerman asked him, you know, Is it true? A lot of people are saying you're a spy for China. He said straight up, no. I have no contact with China. I'm doing this because I want to stop what the U.S. government is doing. And, you know, people ask him things like, well, how secure is the Internet? What happens if I use encryption? And he said, you should use encryption. You know, you can't count on it. They have a lot of mechanisms to break things down. But, you know, people were asking practical questions like that. The biggest import, I thought, was he gave us maybe a hint of what's going to come in the future. Because, you know, Glenn Greenwald says there are more stories to be coming out from what Snowden brought from within the NSA. And all of it has to do not with, you know, revealing about particular people or certain operations. It's the vastness of this operation, which now, as this struggle has kind of broken out in Congress and so forth, last Thursday, and I know you were peddling around the country, but Congress had a secret briefing, and some of them came out and said essentially, wow, it's much bigger than we thought it was. They actually have the capability of listening to everybody's phone calls because they're saving it all. Doesn't mean they're actively listening to everything. It's another thing that Snowden said today. People were questioning whether where he sat in the NSA or could any, you know, specific agent listen to any specific phone call. And what he said was if you were at a certain level and you had access, literally you could find anything. And there is no oversight and no backup on it. Practically speaking, there are some policies, but he had an interesting way of that too. He said, you know, policies only get loosened up. They never get tightened up. So it's just a matter of time before all this information becomes widely available. And what's the importance of this? Who cares if people, if the NSA is vacuuming up this conversation right now? We don't have anything to hide. This is, I've been running into, and I think the answer to that is also in something Snowden said and others have said too. With the government vacuuming up all this information forever, it's not going anywhere. The amount of it is doubling every 2 years. It's all there. It is really a situation where if someone decided any person or grouping is an enemy of the state, then it's all there and available. And all of this can be twisted into whatever story they want to tell. So it's really incumbent on people to be, number one, outraged. Don't act like, oh, yeah, we all knew about this. This was happening. That's just resignation, you know, and it's unacceptable. This is outrageous that the biggest economy, the biggest military, is now the biggest police state in the world. And they have the capacity to do this. So, you know, back to the forum that we're doing Wednesday night in New York City, which, by the way, will be webcast, and people can look at it at worldcan'twait.net. We are doing this under the theme of we will not be complicit, we do not consent, no U.S. spying on whole populations, hands off Edward Snowden and Bradley Manning, and close Guantanamo now, because this is a package here. It is, yes, horrible that there's a spying going on, but why are they spying on us? What's the underlying cause is that this government, and people say, you know, people are way too complacent, and I agree with them, but they're not resting on that. They know that something could spark a real movement in this country. Really, even a revolution could come out of it, and they want to be in a position to clamp down on it, and that's why they're spying on us, you know?
That's what I was... in Columbus last week, and I was talking to Bob Fetrakis, and And he says that, you know, this is all about, you know, data mining and analyzing trends and, you know, seeing when the country is, like, at the point of an Arab Spring and being able to quash it, like you said, or push it over the edge for further oppression and things like that. So, and if they're doing things like this, then it really makes the, you know, the FBI, what you call it, what do they do? They like entrapment of people mm-hmm. to be terrorists. It makes it seem like so, it just makes it seem like total bullshit now because they can like know everything about everybody.
Right. And, you know, they can make up, as I said, stories out of whatever they want to make up. And the what is the antidote to that? It needs to be a very aroused population who says, we're not going along with it. It doesn't have to be everybody who says that. But those of us who are listening and thinking and aware and who are mm-hmm. waking up have to be really loud about it. So we're, you know, this question of defending Snowden and Manning, I want to tell you one other thing that Snowden said today, which was really heartening. Because, you know, there have been efforts to say, well, Snowden, he's the good leaker because he really went through all the material and
uh-huh.
Manning didn't. Manning just released uh-huh. a lot of stuff and it, you know, it hurt. It did damage. And
right.
he didn't accept that today in the interview. He said, no, you know, what Manning did, he did, you know, to help. He did this in a legitimate way, and he doesn't accept that criticism of Manning. So that's uh-huh. very important. Of course, it's not just enough not to accept criticism of Manning. We, you know, we really need, and I know you're going to the trial this week, we really need many, many more people talking about this trial, not accepting what the government says about Bradley Manning. This is an unfair trial in the first damn place.
Right.
It's a military trial. He doesn't uh-huh. have the rights that you would have in a civil courtroom. He can't
right.
really see the evidence against him. This is the whole weight of the government against one guy. And, you know, again, in his case, the same as Snowden, everything that I've seen from Bradley Manning, including his statement in February, was just really very, very impressive. Somebody who grappled with what would be the cost of blowing the whistle on this. They both mm-hmm. did so clearly know because they, from either inside the military or the national security complex, they both indicate that they knew how vicious the attack was going to be on them. So they did it with full knowledge
right.
of that, and they did
right.
it in the spirit of really helping humanity. I just
let me
think,
ask you.
We got to appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like I haven't been able to pay that much attention to what's going on, and it's been kind of cool to be really connected with people and communities, and not
mm-hmm.
like obsessed with what's happening in Washington D.C. and things like, and all
mm-hmm.
the scandals and things like that. Did Snowden, has he ever said anything to differentiate the program and, you know, between Bush and Obama? Is it the same program? Has it gotten more widespread since Obama's been president? Or has he said anything about that?
He did. He said some things today.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently thought about leaking in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
But he said when, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he said
mm-hmm.
when Obama was elected, he had some hope. He said, me and a lot of people, he said, I didn't vote for him, but me and a lot of people had some hope that things were going to change. But
right.
then I saw it didn't change. And today he went further. He said, look, here's an indication. He could have closed up Guantanamo.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys are still sitting in prison. So he is not some right winger. And I don't know, people have written a lot about what he might be, you know, but he's not some right-winger who's like, I'm for American rights, like Obama.
Right.
You know, you listen to Obama, and he's like some good old boy you know, down south right-wing politician, one for America. You know,
right.
Snowden
right.
is not like that at all, and he's uh-huh. actually saying it became clear that this is getting so bad and it's so dangerous, I had to do something. I had to blow the whistle on it now. You couldn't wait much longer. And he raised the specter, which I think is clearly a possibility, that this crisis comes, right? A lot of people are very upset about this. But uh-huh. we don't have the movement and the response that we need. People right. are literally not storming into washed up D.C., into uh-huh. the Capitol to surround the White House. Some of us will go with you on July 3rd, and I hope a lot, but we uh-huh. don't have the level of movement we need. So what happens if there's some complaining, and then it all gets settled and ratcheted up at a higher level mm-hmm. within the workings of Congress? Because you and I, you know, I followed you to John Conyers' office demanding
right.
impeachment at one point, right?
Uh-huh.
And
right.
we thought there was some possibility of that. We were certainly agitating for it. It was certainly the just and right thing to do. But here come the Democrats. They did not want impeachment. They were
exactly.
the problem. It actually wasn't the Republicans. Because
right.
it was the Democrats to do, and they refused to do it. They wanted things as they were so they could retake the White House and do just what they have done. Worse than Bush.
Absolutely.
And really,
dangerous,
yeah. And really demobilizing people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I saw today that Obama said he doesn't think that that this program is illegal or unconstitutional. And he's a constitutional attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know, that. Luckily, there really are a lot of lawyers around the world and in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
that are disagreeing with him, but it's not mainly a legal question, is it? It's a political question.
It's
what section of the population really struggles for this. And as I said, we don't need everybody, but we need a section housed and awakened by things like this happening. And I think it's very for people to grapple again with why do they need all this security. It's essentially to get away with war crimes and the
right.
theft of the world. And, you know, you if anybody, certainly has an appreciation of the scope and depth of U.S. war crimes. That's why in this program on Wednesday night, which I should mention is at 7 o'clock, at the Great Hall of the Cooper Union in New York City,
uh-huh.
right in the East Village. It's near NYU. It's really easy to find, 7 East 7th Street. Doors open at 7. We are going to be talking a lot about Bradley Manning because it isn't all about the NSA spying. It's about the underlying war crimes,
right?
You know, that have been done to the people of the world. And this is what Bradley Manning was going after. If you take it all apart, the Afghan war diaries, the Iraq war logs, collateral murder, at its heart, it was a cry against the callousness, even of his fellow soldiers, that sort of pushed him over the edge, and against the whole system, the whole systematic oppression
uh-huh.
that he was seeing from the U.S. military. And so we can't leave that piece out. It is not just about our rights and liberties as Americans.
Right.
No.
Right.
As, you know, as pathetic as they are at sometimes, mm-hmm. right? We have the right to free speech and gather as long as we stay within the barricades and don't really say that much.
Exactly.
You know, get behind the barriers. Have your good little protest on a Saturday without, you know, doing like those Turkish people are doing right now. You know, I hope you
right.
haven't missed that. But there's
no,
it's
I've
been
seen,
quite a
I've been able to see some of it.
Quite an intense uprising yeah. in the heart of Istanbul. Yeah.
Well,
anyway,
then, but, you know, here we are. We're riding our bikes across the country, and you know, really trying to reach people and say that these that our activism has to be nonpartisan, and it has to be principled for anything to change. And so it gets frustrating to see such apathy in the country. It's like Washington, D.C., they're going to do what they do, and it's appalling. Mm-hmm. And we protest it every chance we get. But what's more appalling and frustrating to me is the lack of outcry or resistance to these policies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are have a stunning lack of inspiration and sense of what might be possible. And they're trying to hang on by whatever means necessary to just what they got. In many cases, what damn little bit that they have, if you look at the actual poverty numbers and the people that have lost homes, jobs, and everything.
Right.
And, you know, who are working 3 part-time jobs. These are all indicators that this is a rapacious, dictatorial society and economy, and it's even worse in the rest of the world.
Yeah, people are really struggling, and you know, it just doesn't have to be that way. But you talked about impeachment a little while ago, and in the notice that World Can't Wait sent out about this, you said that this has the opportunity to be more widespread than Watergate was. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, that's just my idea, but I some people who are listening will remember that Watergate in the summer of 1972 was nothing. It was a tiny article in the Washington Post about a break-in.
Right.
And it didn't even start bubbling for at least 6 months. So what seems to be something minor ended up, you know, actually overturning the government of the strongest country in the world.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't just about a break-in. It was about, at the top, real disagreements and real illegitimacy. There was a crisis in the country where a lot of us felt very clearly that it was not a legitimate system, it wasn't a legitimate government, and there was this movement from the bottom that meant that they really had to respond in a way to, you know, sort of attempt to clean things up. But, you know, don't be fooled. I think there was real intense struggle going on at the top of the ruling class. And I think, no, you know, you can't see this ahead of time. But this crisis here of how far the government has reached,
mm-hmm.
to vacuum up and to form this vast surveillance state, I think certainly would have the potential to become a crisis of legitimacy for this government, and not just for the Republicans or not just for the Democrats, but really in a systemic way.
In that 6 months you said about Watergate, you know, we saw that, if I'm remembering things correctly, we saw that Ford was appointed, and instead of impeachment, Nixon resigned, and then Ford pardoned Nixon. And so I think that was like this, like you said, the ruling class banding together to make sure that the government didn't collapse. And so we saw no accountability, really, for Nixon. Nixon, led a quiet life for the rest of his life. And then here we are today, just far, 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 far worse than what was happening there. So I agree with you. I think that this might have, you know, the chance to have great implications, negative implications for the Obama administration, but for it to go any farther than that, I see that everything they're doing now is just to prop up capitalism and to prop up the empire, and this must be a power struggle at top that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's, you know, and look, there's always elements of it. It's an international class in a certain sense, but it's you know, it's formed around nations. And this nation, this empire will not tolerate anyone else being on top. That's what these wars are essentially about. They have spread out their predatory economic system across the globe. Now, especially in the last 20 years since the Soviet Union fell, and they are not about to be challenged, although, of course, they are being challenged. But a lot of that, people say, oh, well, Obama's going to end the wars. No, the wars are taking another form. And I do hope people get to see Jeremy Scahill's film, Dirty Wars, and also read the book. There's a lot in there that bolsters some of the things you and I have been talking about the last 5 years in terms of what Obama represents, but there's a great deal of detail that we didn't all know about what has been set up in a permanent way to fight wars now. It's all in there, secret operations, targeted killing, indefinite detention. All of this is a whole package that essentially has somewhat replaced the big occupation that Bush and Cheney came up with. This is, you know, here was a good line that Snowden had today, because Cheney revived himself and is, you know, talking about how Snowden's a traitor, you know, and I forget what either Snowden or somebody said about it is like, wait, Dick Cheney, who put all this in place, is calling Snowden the criminal? You know, that's completely laughable.
Yeah, I think Snowden said something like it's an honor to be called a
traitor
by someone like Dick Cheney. So, well, of course, Dick Cheney didn't put all this in place. This is just
no, but he was really a figurehead in fighting for it.
He
didn't do it all himself.
He's one of the evil ones on top, I think. So.
He became identified with it, and then, you know, our problem is that Obama got identified in a mass way through a lot of work that was done with hope and change and not doing that kind of thing. And we're still running into the problems from that.
Oh, it's profound.
People really have been bamboozled.
It's widespread how people are defending all of these scandals, but, you know, this one probably the most important, how they're still, you know, defending him and gathering their wagons around him. And, you know, we both know that if it came out under McCain or Romney, it'd be a much different story.
Yeah, I mean, most likely it would, given people's experience. And we don't know what's going to happen in the future, but our persistent responsibility is to take people back to what are the underlying causes of this. You know, it's capitalism, imperialism. It's a predatory system. They're going to do this. You know, and that should, you know, that should change. It shouldn't be accepted. But an important part of what has to happen to even challenge that is a movement of people who are resisting these really outrageous attacks. And now we find out, clearly, it is not only the people of the world in this situation, but it's people who live here who are sharing in this state, I guess, at this point, of being preyed on by the national security state all the way across. And it shouldn't happen to anybody, but it certainly should not happen to whole populations.
Right. Well, you know, and the thing is we do need a mass movement to make any change. But like you point out in the newsletter you sent out, we have to be counted among the people who oppose it, whether it's one of us or a million of us. We have to be counted in the opposition and the dissent. And so I just always thank you, Deborah, for World Can't Wait, and for your principled opposition, and again for coming on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox.
Well, thank you, Cindy, and take care of yourself. Project a lot of love and support for Bradley Manning when you're in the courtroom, and I'll see you in D.C.
And we'll get this out tomorrow, this thing out tomorrow, so we can you know, get more people watching it or on the live stream or down there where you guys are. And I will see you in 15 and a half days.
Okay.
Okay, Deborah.
Love you. Thanks.
I love you, too. Thanks so much, Deborah Sweet. Well, obviously, we didn't play the show before the emergency forum, but you can go to worldcan'twait.net for more information and hopefully for downloads where you can watch the past event. The information I think that Deborah gave us was still very relevant and necessary for continuing activism around these issues. Well, that's the show for today. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar, you for listening, and Deborah Sweet for being our guest and for, like I said, always having the integrity and vision to oppose what our government does, no matter who is president. Peace out for now.